First Corinthians chapter 6 is where we're going to be at today. What we've been doing for the last, this will be our second message on the same, or it's different, but it'll be according to the same thing we've covered before in the past. But it says, who we are in Christ is what we're looking at today. And we have already had a part one on that. You need to understand who you are in Christ. Now, to be in Christ is to be saved. If you're in Christ, then you are saved. And how do you get in? Well, it's a faith access. You trust in Jesus as your Savior. You ask Him to save you. He will wash you clean, and He'll give you everlasting life. And there's nothing any more important than having everlasting life. Do you all agree? Anything else would be horrible. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when Jesus is going to come. So we need to always be ready and prepared. So this message title is Who We Are in Christ, and I'm going to go ahead and give you a quick review of it. Number one, we are children. Number one, we are children. I'm not going to preach this again, but that, you can get that offline if you'd like. If you got a computer, or if you want a free CD, we'll make you one of them if you missed it. But we are children, Galatians 3:26. Number two, we are citizens. Not only when you're born again, not only are you a child, but you also have citizenship. You know where your citizenship's at? It's in heaven. Man, that's the greatest. I mean, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I'm a citizen right now. And the day that I die or Jesus comes, I'll go off to be with my King. Number three, Ephesians 1, 3-5, we are chosen. That was the third point that we looked at last week. Ephesians 1, 3-5. Number four, we're saints. And then number five, we are complete. So those are the five points that I gave you last week in this particular study. Who we are in Christ. So this will be Who We Are Part 2. Just wanted to give you a little bit of a review. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to give you three more. I'm going to give you three more we are statements. And I'm going to begin at verse 9 and work myself down to verse 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Everybody hear that? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's two types of people, really. There's those that are righteous, and then there's those that are unrighteous. And what's the most important thing to be? You need to be in the category of righteous. How do you get in the righteous category? Well, you got to trust Christ as your Savior. And what you need to, again, understand is you have to have His what? You have to have His righteousness. That's the only way you'll make it to heaven is by trusting Jesus as your Savior. And when you ask Him to save you, He gives you His righteousness, which is something that we say all the time here out of this pulpit. And I don't grow weary of doing it because there's a great host of people that don't understand what salvation is. They think salvation is something that they earn by their own deeds and things of that nature. Salvation is having Christ's righteousness. And you get that by trusting the gospel message that Christ died for you, Christ died for your sins, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And when you trust Jesus as your Savior, here's what He gives you. He gives you His righteousness. All God's people see it. So that's what we're looking at in this text. Now, He gives us a list of sins here, and I can't go without giving these to you. And I'm going to work my way where I'm going to be going. But notice in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. Remember, I said we're either righteous or we're unrighteous. Now, you can be a good neighbor and you can be a good friend to somebody, and you might be helpful in helping other people, But you're not righteous in the eyes of the Lord until you trust Jesus as your Savior and receive His righteousness. That's the only thing that can take you to heaven. You got to be more than a good neighbor or a good friend. You have to have Christ's righteousness in order to go to heaven. All God's people said. And you have to have your sins paid for. And the only person that can give you both of those things is Jesus. He gives you both of them. He gives you His righteousness and He puts away your sin as far as the east is from the west. That's what He does. I hope you're here today, and if you are, I hope you're here today and saved. But if you're not, I want you to have Christ's righteousness, okay? So He says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. The kingdom of who? The kingdom of God. Do y'all believe God has a kingdom? Amen. I'm going to say it one more time. Do you believe that God has a kingdom? Amen. He does. Now you want to have citizenship in His kingdom. It's a wonderful way to live, really. I have citizenship in glory. Do y'all agree? My name's even written there. I even got my name there. My king's there. See, I have citizenship there. And one of these days, I'm going to inherit a part. I'll be a part of it. I am a part of His kingdom now because I have citizenship. But one of these days, I'm going to go to heaven. One of these days, I'm going to glory because, like we say all the time, that's really my home. I'm a pilgrim. Scripture says that I'm a pilgrim and stranger here. My citizenship's in heaven. Oh, God's people said. And I'm a-going. Can you imagine living a life without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of your days? Isn't it a vain life without heaven at the end of your days? I don't know how it is with you today, but the most important thing is not your retirement. The most important thing in life is not your retirement. None of these things that people live for, like their retirements and so they can sit back and take it easy and enjoy life. None of those things last very long. Your retirement, if you make it to retirement, 10, 15 years maybe. We need to be concerned about the eternal things. The eternal things is what matters. And that's why I preach, and that's what I want you to have. I want you to have eternal life. I want you to have a home in the Father's house. I want you to have victory over death. And the only way you can have that is through one person, and that's through Jesus Christ. All God's people say it. You need that. And you need that more than anything in the world. Now, we have a list of sins here that I'm going to read first. And all of these things that I'm reading to you in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, when I read these are all sins. It gives you a big list. It does it several times, about three times in the New Testament. It'll give you a list of sins. And what I want you to know, the list is, Jeff Arthur didn't write the list. The Holy Spirit wrote the list. So these things that I'm about to read to you are sins. You need to recognize what sin is. We live in a time when people don't recognize what sin is. They justify sin in many ways, but you can't do so. Are you ready? Let me go ahead and get into this lower part. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom? The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. It means just exactly what it says, that you won't inherit the kingdom of God. In order to do that, you have to have His righteousness. See, the unrighteous shall not inherit it. Now, He tells you not to be deceived. He tells you not to be deceived. So He moves in on this list and gives you a list of all these different sins that are ways that people, that sinners, live. Are you ready for the list now? If you're ready for the list, say amen. Amen. All right. Number one, neither fornicators. The word fornicator, you get the word pornia from, so you can get an idea of what that means. Whenever you give the word. Fornication is sex outside the bonds of marriage. And it also encompasses really all sexual immorality. It covers it all in that very one word. Now, it gives you far more words than this, but that's what the word fornication stands for. It covers all different types of illicit sex is what it does. That's why it's here. Fornication. Now it says idolaters, adulterers, effeminate and abusers ourselves of mankind, describes the homosexual lifestyle. Word effeminate is the passive partner in a homosexual relationship. I'm just telling you what it means. That's all I'm doing. It's telling you what it means. That's what the effeminate is. The abusers of themselves with mankind are two words. Both of these together describe the homosexual lifestyle. This list is a list of sins. These things are not a race. They are sins. All God's people say it. You don't do anybody any good by telling them they're okay by living in any of these lifestyles. They're sins. Let me tell you something. I care for people's soul. I mean, I hear some Christians say, "Oh, I hate the stinking, no good for nothing homosexuals out there." Man, I'd like to see them saved, wouldn't you? Everybody here today probably has them in their family. And you would dearly love to see them what? And in this list, it has those two words, effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. Both of those words are here for the purpose of describing homosexuality. It's a sin. It's not a race. It's a sin. That's God's word. That's not mine. And of course, if it's God's word and I'm a pastor, it's mine, isn't it? I get to declare it to people. So our nation is filled with these kinds of sins. And there's other sins. Can I read the rest of them? I'm going to do it anyhow. Look at all this and all these. This is all sins. It says, "Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters." Worshiping of idols is what that refers to. And a lot of these sexual sins was associated with idol worship in the scriptures. That's what they did. Adulterers. Effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind is, again, the homosexual lifestyle. Nor thieves. See the list? It's a big old list, ain't it? Would y'all agree with all these as sins? Would y'all agree with me that the Holy Spirit is the one that authored 1 Corinthians? All of these are sins. Theft? Of course, we don't have no trouble with theft, but we have trouble with other things on the list of it. We like to pick and choose what sin is. All of these things are sins. Let me say, all of these things are sins. People pick and choose their sins. This one's more justified than the other. They're all sins. They're all sins. So, thieves, covetous. Did you see that word covetous there? We don't like that one, do we? You know what covetousness is? To be greedy of gain. To be greedy of gain. I hear people say all the time, "Boy, I'll tell you what, you get a job at this place, you're set for what?" You ever heard anybody say it? They want to get that big job that makes the big money and has all the retirement, which there ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't saying there is. But if that's all there is in your life and all you're looking forward to, that ain't a good deal. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. Covetousness is one of the premier sins in the United States. We base success on gain. Do we or do we not? We base success on gain. We really do. I've seen people before that I hadn't seen for years, and they'll come up and talk to me, and I'll say, well, how you doing now, bud? How you doing? They'll tell me, well, I got a new home, and I just bought a new boat, and they'll tell you about all the money they're making. Does that mean they're doing good? Not if they die. Not if they die without Jesus. None of those things amounts to a hill of beans the day that you die. You can have a boat and four cars and all kinds of money in the bank, and if you die today, you'd leave every bit of it behind. You ain't going to take a dime of it with you. I heard a man say that one time. How much did he take with him? None of it. It all stays behind. I don't know why people live for the temporary and forget the eternal things. I think the eternal things is what matters. Who's the successful people in the world? The people that have got eternal life. That's the successful people. What determines your riches is where you go the day you die or the day that Jesus comes. That's what determines it. And I hope you're here today, and I hope you know Jesus. Amen. Because that's going to determine where you go. All God's people say, amen. You need these things, man.
These are the most important things anybody could have. So, I haven't finished the list yet. I'm working hard on that. And notice what it says. Thieves, covetous, drunkards. Does the United States have a lot of trouble with drunkards? Well, now you throw all the dope with that too, which is the same intoxicating problem. It's all over our land, and it's corrupting our young people too. I've seen people that were back in my day that grew up with me and were strong and athletes and all these kinds of things, and they got on these drugs and drinking, and I've seen them and then out in public, and they talk to me, and I'm like, when Debbie, or I was, thank God for Debbie, but I said, who in the world was that? I act like I know them, but I was like, who is it? I said, they don't. And she'll tell me who they are, and I'm like, are you kidding me? What happened? What happened? Man, it was a lifestyle. That drinking, partying lifestyle takes away all your health. It does. And I've seen them do it. Young people, stay away from dope. And stay away from drinking. That ain't going to help you any. Well, I can just drink a drop. A person could possibly use that for a health purpose. But man, I'm going to tell you something about me. I couldn't drink one drop. I don't trust myself. How about you, Rick? Not one, all the way down to the day? How long has it been since you had one?
4 years.
All God's people say. Think about it. But he don't trust himself. Guess what? I don't trust myself either. I don't want to be around him. I'm afraid I might fall. You say, you think you live above it? Nope. That's how I am about sins. I don't trust myself. So I stay away from it. All God's people say. Amen. Glorious thing. Let me get off the list. We have troubles with this list. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, nor extortioners. Extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now what he's telling you here, that those who make these sins their lifestyle, do y'all agree with me? What to say? They won't inherit the kingdom. They won't inherit the kingdom. That includes all of these lifestyle that is listed on this list. They're not going to inherit the kingdom. All God's people say it. So keep that in mind. When I preach, for instance, against drunkenness and fornication and idolatry, the abusers of themselves with mankind, which describes a homosexual lifestyle, that doesn't make me a racist. I've been called a racist. What? A racist? Because I preached against a certain type of sin. Preachers are supposed to preach against sin. Y'all agree? these aren't races. What I just give you is not a race. It's a what?
Sin.
You got to learn to call sin, sin. Because you care for people's soul. All God's people say.
Amen.
Now it does say in verse 10 that such they won't inherit the kingdom. Those that make this lifestyle, all these sins on this list, they make this their lifestyle, they'll die in their sins unless they get saved, unless the Lord saves your soul. Can the Lord save a thief?
Yep.
Yeah. Can he save someone that's covetous? Can he save someone that's homosexual? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, that's what we're after. That's why we seek to get the gospel out to other people. Now, there's three words here that I'm finally going to get to. And it says, I want you to notice what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And the verse 11. It says, such were some of you. Let me say it one more time. Such were some of you. If I remember right in the book of Acts, whenever Paul went to Corinth, he almost left. It was that bad. It was a rough place. Corinth, southern Greece, was a rough place back at this time. And Paul almost left. And you know what the Lord did? Hear about the gospel, and they need to hear about eternal life. Notice what we are. Such were some of you. This list that I give you in 9 and 10 was how many at the church of Corinth lived before. That's why he says in verse 11, such were some of you. Used to be that way. But you're not the way that, you're not the way that way no more. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, there should be a change of life which results in a change of conduct. All God's people said. A change of life that results in a change of conduct. When someone gets born again, the Scripture says old things pass away and all things becomes... I look for people to become new when they make a profession of faith. Poor old Stewie down there, ain't he awful? But poor old Stewie, I have never seen anybody change as much as him. I worked with him for how many? I carried him, I should say, for 14 to 15 years at the plant where we worked at. And Stewie would fight a buzzsaw. Just to be blunt with you, he would. But you know what the Lord did? If he thought he hurt your feelings now, he'd cry over it. Real tender-hearted. What happened to him? The Lord, that's exactly right. He changed his life. He changed his lifestyle. All God's people say it. That's what it does. All right. Let me give you these three, verse 11. Such were some of you. Some of those had these lifestyles before. I could point out some things on that list of sins that I lived in before. You could too. But you know what's happened to me now? I've been washed. Washed clean. Wash. It's not a physical washing. It's a spiritual washing. He washed me from my sins in His own blood. Now, beloved, I want you to know this morning that I don't deserve a bit of that. But that's what He done for me. I've had people say, I remember you. But now it's different. I've been what? Washed clean. Let me give you some other texts to go along with this. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And Revelation chapter 1 and the verse 5. Watch this now. Now I could show you a lot of texts that talks about washing. And it means the removal of your sin. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it means that He's paid for your sins. That's why we sing the song, Jesus Paid It All.
Are you ready now? Look at Revelations 1 and verse 5. And Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, he's the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Now listen what it says. And he's washed us from our sins in his own blood. Why did he pay such a price for us? Notice what it says again in verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed us. Are you washed? Have you that spiritual cleansing in Christ? When you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit washes you clean and gives you everlasting life and gives you his righteousness. All of these great blessings belongs to you whenever you're born again. Have you been washed? Have you been washed? Titus, or Revelation 7 and verse 14. Let me see if this is another one. Revelation 7 and 14, since we're there. Talking about being washed. Are you ready? Look at verse 14. He said, look back up at 13. I'm about to read 13 and 14. And one of the elders answered and said unto him, what are these that are arrayed in, what kind of robes they got on? See that white robes, that pictures Christ's righteousness. Everybody in heaven has on a white robe when you read the book of Revelations. That pictures being made righteous in Christ Jesus. So he says, who are these that are arrayed in these white robes? This is what John seen. John got called up to heaven to see, and he was given the book of Revelations by Jesus, okay? Verse 14, 7:14. He said, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. And they washed their robes, that's their clothing. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. All God's people see. That's what the Lord does. I've been washed. I've had a spiritual washing. And that's what salvation does. And when you trust Him as your Savior, He washes you clean. That's the reason why those white robes are pictured the way that they are. It's a picture of having your sins removed and having Christ's righteousness charged to you. That's what He's done for us. Can you put a price tag on that? That's a glorious thing to have. I've been washed. Church, have you been washed? Have you been washed? Do you know that you've been washed? Have you asked Jesus to wash you? You know, the Bible says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you ask Him to wash you clean and give you everlasting life, He will do so. And do so today. You see anything, any use waiting on anything like that? Can I ask everybody here a question this morning? Do you know you're going to live for sure tomorrow? I'm asking you, do you know you're going to live for sure tomorrow? So you're not guaranteed it, are you? That's why you need to be saved today. You need to be saved today. You probably heard me and heard me and heard me about this issue. But like I've told you many times before in the past, there's been times that there's been people that's been in this church and they've died. Now, I ain't got nobody on my mind, so don't try to figure it out. But I've done their service. And they went to church here for years, or off and on for different kinds of years. And then they died. And then what does the family want to know?
They want to know where, because that's all really matters, isn't it? When you die, isn't that what matters? Where you go? And I said, Pastor, were they saved? And I said, I don't know. I know they knew. They heard me from the pulpit. They heard me everywhere else. They heard me share the gospel. They heard it and they heard it and heard it. But I don't know. Y'all agree you can't comfort somebody with an I don't know? I know they went. I know they heard it. I just don't know whether they did what. Somebody tell me. I just don't know whether they trusted it or not. Can't comfort a family that way. Let's go back to our text now. Go back to our text. Back to 1 Corinthians. Washed. Ye are washed. Can you say that this morning? I am washed. You're washed. What else does it say? Sanctified. What's the word sanctified mean? To set apart for a holy purpose. You know, that's what the Lord does for you when He saves you. Not only does He wash you clean from your sin, but not only does He wash you from your sins, but what else? But He sanctifies you. He sets you apart for a holy purpose. That's true of everybody that's born again. He sets you apart for a holy purpose. In your family now, if you've been born again, in your family now, you can witness the people in your family and you can instruct them in the ways of the Lord. And your friends, you can instruct them in the ways of the Lord, because He set you apart for a holy purpose. That's why we're here. Why are we here? Wait. I don't know how many people, this usually makes people mad, but I don't know how many people wait their way into hell. I'd like to know, wouldn't you? They waited their way right into eternity. And I think that's part of the torment of it, because they heard it and they heard it and they heard it, but never trusted it. You've got to do more than know that there's a God. Can I tell that to you right now? It's more than believing that there's a God. It's just more than that, far more than that. You can look at the creation and see that there's a God. You got to trust. Listen to me. You got to trust Jesus. You got to put all your confidence in Him. So we are washed, and we've been sanctified. We've been set apart. Eddie, you've been set apart for a holy purpose. If you're here today and born again, God has set you apart. Stewie, God has set you apart for a holy purpose. And that's our purpose in living now, is to serve Jesus and to sharing with other people. So what have I received? I've been washed. I've been sanctified. And there's a third one. I'm going to give you the third one, then I'll stop. Justified. Old time preachers used to say, just as if I never sinned. That's what old timers used to say. I like that. That's what justification is. In justification, you have your sin charged to Jesus and Jesus' righteousness charged to you. And that's why those white robes in heaven, when you read Revelation, that's why they have these white robes on. Look, Revelation says that they've washed their robes. I'm washed. I'm sanctified, and I'm justified. And you can't put a price tag on it. There's nothing greater than that. What I just give you in those three statements, washed, justified, washed, sanctified, and justified, those three, one of them's priceless. All three of them, just unbelievable. Can I ask you a question? Would you today be washed, justified, and sanctified? Would you? Let's all stand. Bertha, find me this.